1 John chapter 5, we're going through this little epistle. We have been since May, and we're just about to wrap it up here in the next few weeks, and we've entitled it Living in Light and Love. And today we come to the second section in chapter number 5, covering verses 6 through 13. If you were with us in our last study, which was 2 weeks ago, because of Christmas, John made the amazing and the bold claim that despite the persecution that Christians were going through, despite that all the apostles had been martyred except for him, he was the last living apostle, that despite what it looked like to man and what it looked like on the outside, that actually Christians were victorious. Not just in the future, not just that we were going to be victorious, but that we are presently victorious. And if we could see, not just through human eyes, but if we could see today through the eyes of God, if we could look down through past and look into the future, we would see this, that we are on the winning side. Not just that we are going to win, but we are winning right now. And you may remember the Greek word that we looked at that John used over and over again, the word Nike, which we get the word Nike from. And the word Nike means what? Overpriced tennis shoes, right? No, it means victory. It means victory, and we are victorious. We are overcomers. And so on what basis does the Christian claim victory? Look back at verse number 5. He says, John writes, "Who is he that overcometh the world?" Who is he that is victorious over the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? In other words, the person who arrives at the verdict and places their faith and they believe in the fact that Jesus is God, the Son, not just a good man, not just a prophet, but he is God. He has achieved victory of faith. So now John immediately takes another step in his direction about who Jesus Christ is. And look, I mentioned this last time, but the determining factor in your eternity and my eternity is not just that you believe in a creator. It's not just that you believe in God the Father. It is that you and I believe that Jesus Christ is God. He is the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life all the time being God. He died on the cross, still being God. He rose victorious, still being God. And today he sits at the right hand of God the Father, still God. And that's what John is dealing with. And so he comes to this section and we see another repeated word in the section as John does. And the Greek word is translated witness or record in the text. You're going to see it come up time and time again. And so, look, this, what we're looking at today is this. It is the witness or the record or the testimony of God himself about who Jesus Christ is. God had plenty to say about Jesus Christ, the Messiah in the Old Testament, and we won't take time to look through that. But here in our text, John pulls together the witness of God regarding Jesus Christ. And remember that this epistle was written for us to know that we have eternal life. We're going to read it in just a moment, but look at verse number 13 again. These things, John says, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what's the next word? Know. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. It is to remove doubt, to remove fear, to remove anxiety about our eternal destiny. Before we jump into this section, I want you to go back to the Gospel of John for just a moment. And I want you to see the key verse, John chapter number 20, verse 31. We preached through this gospel several years ago, and we looked at the main theme verse of John, and is found in John chapter 20 in verse 31, and it's similar to this verse. It says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." His desire, John's desire, is that his readers would not just believe that Jesus existed, not just believe that he was a good man, but that we would believe, look, that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, that he is the anointed one, that he is the Son of God. So with that thought in mind, I want us to stand together if you're able to, and let us read the text together, verses 6 through 13. And when we get to verse 13, I want you to read it with me aloud, all right? Verse 6, John writes, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost," the Trinity, "and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record or the witness or the testimony that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, this is the testimony, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name," let's say it together, ready? "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Father, once again, we come to your word, realizing that this is the very words of God to us. And we pray in the next few moments that you will quieten our hearts, that you will quicken our hearts, that you will speak to our hearts, that if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, they do not know their eternal destiny, we pray that today would be that day. We pray for those who are living in doubt. We pray, God, that today you would remind them of the assurance that we can have in our faith in Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we ask all these things. Amen. You may be seated. Look at verse number 11 if you would. When I read these words in verse number 11, "This is the record that God hath given to us," what's the next two words? Eternal life. I want you to think about those words for just a moment. Eternal life. Those two words have been on my heart and mind a lot, just about every day for the last 2 years, especially as all the things have been going on in our world and all the unexpected things are happening in our life. I am reminded of these two words, eternal life. And even as I read this and studied this week, my mind went back to times in my ministry when I have stood at the bedside of people who took their last temporary breath and entered into eternity. And as I was studying this, I couldn't help but think of my grand-grand, my grandmother. And Travis, when I think of my grandmother, I think a lot of you and your relationship with your grandfather and your grandmother. They had a massive impact upon my life spiritually. I was very, very close to my grand-grand, we called her. And I can remember as she had several strokes there and she went into the hospital, and it was just a matter of time. And I can remember how I struggled to go to the hospital. I did not enjoy seeing grand-grand in that situation. And the Taylors remember her so well. She sat over on the organ, played our organ completely by ear, sang at the top of her lungs, sometimes got off key playing the organ because she was singing so loud. But she loved God passionately. But I remember one day I was in town and Dad was there, and the doctors had told, Dad was at the hospital with grand-grand, and the doctors had told us that it would not be long. And I remember Dad letting us know, "If you want to see grand-grand, then you may want to come by in the next few days." And so I remember that one afternoon that just the Spirit of God seemed to prompt my heart to pull in and go to the hospital and visit with Dad and with grand-grand. And I'm so glad that I did, because what I saw in those last moments of grand-grand's life was not all that I had seen the last few times I had been there. I got to see Gran-Gran's last expression of human worship and anticipation as she took her last breath, and somehow her eyes opened and her hands lifted towards heaven like she was entering the presence of God. And within just a few seconds, she was out of this life and into eternal life. It doesn't always happen in that fashion and in that way. But when I think of this verse, I can't help but wonder, where are you going to be for eternity? The fact is, the last day on this earth, that it's not going to matter what's in your checking account. Ladies, it's not going to matter if you have your tan and your hair is all fixed. It's not going to matter what kind of car you're driving. It's not going to matter, ladies, if the house is cleaned perfectly, and men, that the yard is mowed. What is going to matter is only one thing: eternal life. And what you and I have done with Jesus Christ. And so John goes on to write in verse number 12, look, he that has the Son has life. That's a very important statement. He that has the Son has life. Many of you are familiar with the story of Fanny Crosby, a lady who was blind shortly after birth. In fact, I forgot to let them play a video that we were going to play just before the sermon this morning. But Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns in her lifetime. 8,000 hymns. And one of those hymns is one that we know very well. And the words go like this: Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising the Savior all the day long. And John wants us to know what Fanny Crosby tried to explain in her hymn, and that is that we do not have to live life wondering about eternal life, but we can live life knowing that we have eternal life. If you have eternal life, eternal salvation through Jesus, but you aren't living like you have it, or you're frequently living under the doubt of whether you have it or not, I pray that you leave here today changed. If you don't have eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, which is the only way you can have eternal salvation, then I pray that today you receive him, that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart, will open up your heart to this truth. According to the Bible and verse 13, very specifically in our text today, we can know that we have eternal life. And there's three foundations of assurance that are here in our text. And the first one is this: the word of God the Father. The word of God the Father gives testimony that we can know that we have eternal life. Look at again at verses 6 through 9. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These three are one. There are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, water, and the blood. These three agree in one. Notice verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, notice this next phrase: the witness of God is greater. And then John says, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Someone has said this: God said it, and that settles it. Somebody said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, whether you and I believe it or not doesn't matter. God said it, and that settles it. And what we see here is that God the Father gives testimony of Jesus Christ. And he mentions, first of all, in verse number 6, the bookends of Jesus' earthly ministry, the beginning of really his earthly ministry, and then the ending. He mentions water and blood, a reference, I believe, to his baptism and his death on the cross. John is again confronting Gnostics and false teachers, as he has done throughout this epistle, One branch of the Gnostics, of course, denied the deity of Jesus Christ. The other one, the humanity of Jesus Christ. But the prominent branch taught that Jesus was born not of a virgin, not a supernatural birth. He was born like any other man. He lived his life, but at the time of his baptism, when many witnesses saw what happened at his baptism, that obviously the Christ Spirit came upon him on his baptism. And the Christ Spirit stayed upon him for 3 years, Brother James. But then when Jesus went to the cross, it left him because Jesus could have never died. So John very specifically here says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood, not just at his baptism, but also at the cross. You remember at his baptism that a dove descended from heaven, and a voice came from heaven, came from God the Father, and the voice said this, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You also remember that John, who wrote this, was one of the three disciples who was privileged to go on the Mount of Transfiguration, where again he heard himself the voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so John's point is very clear here. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He's not just a man with whom the Christ Spirit came upon at his baptism. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Let me say this, Jesus Christ did not cease to be God on the cross. In fact, if he was not God on the cross, then you and I are damned eternally. We have no hope eternally. Because it took the perfect, sinless sacrifice of God. John was there at the Last Supper when Jesus prophesied that he would die. He was at the cross. He watched him. And don't forget the words of declaration from the centurion after watching the scene of the cross. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 39, he looked at Jesus and he said this, "Truly, this was the Son of God." This was the Son of God. This was the Messiah. Look again at verse number 9. If we receive the witness or the testimony of men, the witness or the testimony of God is greater. I'm amazed at how many people, listen, will accept the word of a man, but they will not accept the word of God. They'll listen to anything that man has to say. They'll buy into all the conspiracies, but they will not accept the word of God. He says this, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This is the word of God the Father concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And it is greater than the word of man. So here it is. You can either believe the word of man that says that he was not God or that he ceased to be God, excuse away Jesus from being God, or you can believe the word of God that says that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was the Son of God when he was born. He was the Son of God when he was baptized. He was the Son of God when he died. He was the Son of God who rose victorious over the grave. And he is the Son of God sitting right now at the right hand of God the Father. John says, this is what you must believe. You must put your faith in it, not just a mental assent, but you must commit, put your faith in this, trust in this for eternity. One of the awesome things that we discover about God's revelation and God's word is that it leads us not to uncertainty and not to confusion, but to certainty. And so John comes near the end of his letter and he reveals the purpose of it in verse number 13. Remember what Romans chapter 4 and verse 20 says of Abraham. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And Martin Luther said it like this, "Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving." He said, "My warrant is the word of God. Not else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever, for though all things shall pass away, he agreed with the psalmist, his word shall stand forever. The word of God stands forever. You see, this morning I can tell you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if my temporary life were to end here on earth, that I would have eternal life with God, not because of anything that I have done, but because I have put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And John says, this is the witness, this is the word of God. This is the witness of God the Father. The second thing that John points out is not only the word of God the Father, but the witness of God the Holy Spirit in verse number 10. Look at it again. He that believeth on the Son of God, and I want you to mark and notice this next phrase, hath the witness in himself. What does John mean, hath the witness in himself? It's the witness of the Spirit that John mentions in verse number 6 that we know lives inside of every child of God. You say, how do we know that the Spirit lives in every child of God? Remember, I've told you before that the best commentary on the Bible is what? The Bible. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And so John says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, which is the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Notice this next phrase. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He is not his. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that we have eternal life. It is the witness of the Spirit of God in us that bears witness with the word of God the Father that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who God confirmed at his water baptism by saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And again at his bloody crucifixion, and again at his victorious resurrection. And we put our trust in him, and him alone, for our eternal salvation. Paul confirms this, by the way, when he writes in Galatians, that the only way that you and I can truly experience in this life selfless love and joy beyond circumstances and the peace in the midst of the storm is to have the Holy Spirit of God living in us and supernaturally producing things. You say, the circumstances of my life are so bad, I could never have joy. You can if the Holy Spirit is producing it through you. You say, this person has done so much to me, I could never love them. It's impossible for me to love them. No, it is possible supernaturally through the Holy Spirit of God. He gives witness of this. When you reject what God the Father said, when it doesn't matter to you what God says, when you don't have the Spirit in you that is confirming the truth. Look what John says in verse number 10. You call God what? A liar. Look at it again. Verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a what? A liar. That's dangerous ground, wouldn't you say? To call God a liar. So the Spirit of God that is in me, the Spirit of God that is in you, if you are a believer, it bears witness with the word of God the Father concerning Jesus Christ. Whatever God the Father said about Jesus Christ, guess what? The Spirit of God confirms that in our heart and in our soul. You believe it. You put your faith in it. And then we see, thirdly, not only the word of God the Father and the witness of God the Holy Spirit, but the work of God the Son. Look at verse 13, or verse 11 through 13. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. We know that we are eternally saved because of what God said about Jesus Christ, because the Spirit of God in us bears witness of that truth. And lastly, we know that we're saved because of the work of God the Son on the cross. As prophesied in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was the perfect and final sacrifice for the sins of man. His death was in our place. His death satisfied the wrath and the justice of God over our sin. Look at verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want you to notice three things in closing as we close for the first time. Verse number 11. God gives us eternal life. Not good works. God gives us eternal life. Verse 13, we can know that we have eternal life. You don't have to hope that you have eternal life. We've all talked to people before and witnessed to them and asked them if they knew that they were going to heaven or that they had eternal life, and they would say, well, I sure hope so. No, the Bible says we can know so. And then verse 11 and 12, eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. And by the way, eternal life is not just something futuristic. It starts the moment that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You in that moment have eternal life. And now the love and joy and peace that we are able to experience in this life is brought to us because we have eternal life. And look at verse number 12 in closing. It is as black as and white, as clear as can be. He that hath the Son, say it with me, he that hath the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Is that pretty clear? He that has the Son, he that has Jesus Christ, has life. He that does not have the Son, Jesus Christ, does not have life. Eternal life is a gift, verse 11. He says, God has given to us eternal life. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 teaches us it is a gift of God, not of works. Eternal life is a gift. It is a present possession. He says, know that ye have, right now, you have it, right now, eternal life. Eternal life is only found in Jesus Christ. Verse 11, this life is in his Son. There are not many ways to God. There are not many ways to heaven. There is, as Jesus claimed, only one way through him. When he said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me, Jesus Christ. Eternal life can be known, that we may know that we have eternal life. Someone has said this, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. And you're not ready to die, let me add this, you're not ready to die until you know that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. John, all through this epistle, he gives us the birthmarks, as we've been talking about, the things that we can see in our life, that we are walking in the light, that we are practicing righteousness. Not that we're perfect, but that the general direction of our life is that we have a desire for these things, and we're walking in the light, and we're obeying the commandments of Christ. And chapter 1, verse 9, that we're sensitive to sin in our life, and we're confessing it and forsaking it, and that we love other Christians, that these are the general directions of our life. And there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things in this life that I don't know. You know, we don't know what's going to happen 2 days from now. It's uncertain. But Brother Jason, I am more secure in what's going to happen a billion years from now than I am 2 days from now. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I do know this. I do know what's going to happen in eternal life. He's not left us in the dark. And so John pins now one of the most well-known verses in all the Bible. Some call it the verse, the gospel in one verse, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning and no one looking around, the invitation is very simple this morning. No one's looking. I just want to pray for you. I promise not to embarrass you. We just preach through the books of the Bible, verse by verse, typically. Wherever the Bible brings us and the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts through His Word, that's where we are. And today it brought us to this passage on the assurance of eternal life. And with no one looking, I just want to ask you, do you know that you know that you have eternal life? Do you know that you have eternal life? Would you just as a testimony this morning slip your hand up and say, I know that I have eternal life because I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. You would raise your hand and say, that's my testimony. Wonderful. You can put them down. Maybe you couldn't raise your hand. You say, that's bad news for me. No, there's good news for you. God had you here this morning to hear this simple gospel truth that you can leave here today knowing that you have eternal life by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. How many of you would say this morning, I can't say that I know for sure, but today I want to know for sure. Would you just raise your hand? Anyone like that? Slip up your hand this morning. I don't know, but I want to know. Perhaps you're watching this morning online and that is you. I want to encourage you to reach out to us, to contact us, to put a comment there, to call a number, find us on the web. We would love to talk to you and share with you how you can know that you have eternal life. How many of you would say, I know that I'm saved after hearing the message this morning and this reminder, but I'll be honest, there's days when I struggle with this truth that I know that I'm saved. Would you just raise your hand as a Christian? I know that I am, but there's days I struggle with it. See those hands, and that helps me know how to pray for you. I want you to write this verse in the front of your Bible, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. That you can know that you have eternal life. The signs of your Christianity and your faith are, as John lines out in this book, as we've been studying in Sunday school, it's not faith without works, it's faith accompanied by your works. It's not the works that save you, but it's genuine faith that produces works. And John echoes those truths. I want to pray for those of you who just raised your hand. Father, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for this text. Lord, we're thankful for the clarity of it. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. And we're thankful that we can live this life not hoping that we're saved, but knowing that we have eternal life, that there's nothing that can pluck us out of the Father's hands, that we are secure, that it's not our works, but it is the final work of Jesus Christ on the cross that we're trusting and we're putting our faith in, and that is a perfect work. We're so thankful that this morning you see us justified, righteous, not because of our works, but because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been applied to our account. So God, I pray that you would give assurance. I pray that you would give confidence to the Christians, that we would live our lives surrendered to you. And I pray, God, if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their Savior, that today they would come, they would put their faith and trust in you and you alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's